Time now, though, on Sky Sports Radio to go to Singapore and catch up from racingandsports.com.au. Our good friend on a Monday, Gary Crisp. Good morning, Gary.
G'day, Andrew. How are you?
Very well indeed. Heard you on the coverage last night from Singapore. We spoke earlier in the day with Tommy Berry. One hell of an experience there for Tommy and John Moore with Dan Excel back-to-back. And then you see Aero Velocity, the race before that, win the Chris Flyer.
Yeah, no, the exciting evening. Andrew, those two races are definitely growing in stature every year. And I think the fields this year were probably, in terms of depth, the best that they've ever had. And, the Chris Flyer, you had the Aero Velocity there, who must be, if not the highest rated sprinter, currently racing in the world. And, of course, Lucky Nine has won the race twice previously. And the four top local sprinters. So it was a really good race and brilliant ride by Zach Burton.
We're going to hopefully catch up with Zach in the next half an hour or so. I will say, I know Aero Velocity was probably the winner anyway, but Lucky Nine had no luck at all.
No, that's right. No, Brett Pebble was quite upset when he came back after the race. So he felt very aggrieved. He thought and with some justification, that he perhaps should have been in the finish. But, that just adds further merit to the quality of the race, Andrew, because Lucky Nine has been a very quality horse. We've seen him race in Australia and his race in Maidan and so forth. So, it was a really high-quality sprint, and the local, the best of the locals, Emperor Max, who ran second last year to Lucky Nine, who's run second again this year and going very well. And in terms of ratings, we've got the race, profiling as a 125 and time form race, which is equal to the 5-year winning average for the race. Not quite as good as Rocket Man back in 2011, of course. He was an outstanding sprinter here for Singapore. He ran to a figure of 127, and also Sacred Kingdom, a horse we know very well, the previous winner with a high rating. But overall, quality field, not too far below some of the best that we've seen.
Yeah, that's fantastic. Not too sure. Aero Velocity obviously goes back to Hong Kong, but the other winner, Dan Excel, they're talking maybe about a trip to UK for the summer. We know John Moore is taking the star Able Friend, but this horse could go to Goodwood.
Yeah, that's right. Some talk about the Sussex Stakes at Goodwood for Dan Excel. And, just as a diversion here, how good does the win make Able Friend look?
Because yes.
Able Friend absolutely toyed with him in the Champions Mile. And the Hong Kong pool of horses at the top end are equal to anywhere in the world these days, and they can travel and be successful. And John Dust taking across to the UK will certainly be exciting to get a line on him there. But also, I think John was very relieved to have the horse back after the difficulties he had in Australia. He had an infirmity issue there, and which they corrected, and had a bit of a spell at Mustaka Farms and came back. And John was worried that he may not actually get back to his best form. But according to our figures, he's not only back there, but he's slightly better. We've got him going for a figure also of 125, which is a couple of pound up on his win last year. So, really exciting future there for Dan Excel.
We're talking with Gary Crisp from Racing and Sports, as we do around this time every Monday on Sky Sports Radio. Brazen Bow Barrier trial here earlier, Gary, at Rose Hill. Untouched, ran the quickest, I think, 900-metre trial of the morning, has a trial in Melbourne. We're going to get some nice horses to Royal Ascot. Brazen Bow, Sharma Wind, and Criterion, hopefully in good order for the 2,000-metre race of the week.
Yeah, exactly. And the Royal Ascot this year is shaping up as probably the most diverse group of international horses, and probably the most in number that we've seen for quite some time. And Australia is going to be very well represented. And of course, we've seen Brazen Bow, basically decimate the Newmarket field. And that's an extremely good form line for the Diamond Jubilee. That's the race that most of the other winners, our Australian winners, have actually come off to win the Diamond Jubilee. And in terms of her time form rating, 126 figure with more to come, that's exactly the sort of number that he will need to take with him to Ascot. Not that at the moment there's too much there that would likely to trouble him, but, something will turn up. Aidan O'Brien's got a young sprinter that ran place last year, so he's lurking in the background. So, it's going to be an exciting race, as you say. And, of course, Shamel Wind first up in the King Stand. She'll be red hot in that race. And at this stage, it just looks like Soul Power would be probably her biggest danger.
Gary, I'm not too sure whether you caught much of the action around Australia on Saturday. Flamberge won the Group 1 of the day at Morfordville. Some discussion now between Peter Moody and owner David Moody, different spelling, whether the horse goes to Brisbane.
Yeah, look, he's always been an honest type, hasn't he? He's always been thereabouts. I mean, we've seen him in Sydney as well a few times, and you know, he's raced reasonably well there. We've got him going to a figure of 116 on Saturday. He came off a 56-day break after the Galaxy placed there behind Sweet Idea. But, you know, he did have form around Tretuckle in the Rubicon Stakes early on in his campaign. And, you know, that's about his level, around about 116. And, you know, right now that's probably good enough to make him competitive in Brisbane. We don't seem to have a lot of those top horses at the top level right now. So certainly it's worth a throw at the stumps.
What about the Sunshine Coast? The Guineas was the standout, I think, for all of us that were at Scone watching the racing on the tally from the Sunny Coast. The win of Winx, dead set last from wide barrier in that race until Larry Cassidy produced out wide. And it just picked them up like they were standing there, the old racing staying, to win by just under two lengths. What do your figures tell us about Winx from the weekend?
Well, she really didn't have to run to her best to win that race, Andrew. It wasn't an extremely strong renewal of the Guineas. Interestingly now, the way that the race is placed, obviously, with the Gold Coast Guineas and the Sunshine Coast Guineas leading in, I guess, to the Queensland Guineas, you know, it's probably a better programming fit, and although Winx, you know, may stick to her own sex and go towards the Oaks again. But her first run since the Oaks, and she obviously came off that performance there on Saturday by a couple of pounds. In terms of the historical analysis of the race, she's one of the better winners of it. Fillies have a pretty good record in the race, Andrew, and she's one of the better winners of it with a rating, but she's obviously got scope for more than that, as our figures show, so we'll see where she goes. A nice tune-up there for what lies ahead.
Anything else from Saturday, Gary, you wanted to bring to our listeners this morning?
Look, I thought there was... Just going back to Adelaide, it was very interesting to see... That former German horse, Al Ivan Hoey, now with the Friedman camp, and it was the old campaign there, Andrew, isn't it? Like, give them a run in Adelaide during the carnival, then put them away for the spring. It's a time-honoured and proven formula, and I guess we probably might see this guy may have another run or may be put away. But interestingly, 1,600 metres is way too short for him. He's a very serious racehorse. You saw him in Japan. He ran sixth there in a very hot Japan Cup behind Epinaya, a German Cup winner. He's won four races, and three of them are 2,400 and the other are 2,200. So the 1,600 on Saturday was never going to be suitable for him, but certainly gave him a bit of a sighter in Australia, and he's one horse I think our listeners should keep an eye on for the spring.
Yeah, for sure. He's been bought to run in the Melbourne Cup, so we're just going to have to monitor him in the early part of the spring. I just wanted to mention finally, before I let you go, Winterbottom Stakes, Kingston Town, WA Guineas in WA in their summer carnival. The Kingston Town, the Railway and the Winterbottom all go to $1 million, Gary.
Yeah, look... and I can remember, and you probably can as well, when, most of the good horses in Sydney and Melbourne headed to Perth, in the years when, Tommy was training at his peak. And that's a big pot to ignore. And I'm sure we're going to find that stables will target those races, just as a lot of global stables are now targeting these big races globally. The game's changed quite considerably, and why not? If you've got a horse good enough, chase the money.
Yeah, for sure. Safe travels back. We look forward to doing it again next Monday. Thanks for your info today, Gary.
No, good on you, Andrew. Pleasure anytime.